Now, my first guest today on the show is an absolutely legend of TV, as far as I'm concerned. 1991, he joined Granada TV's This Morning. He was on Ready, Steady, Cook. He's been guesting on Food and Drink, The Generation Game. He's been on Saturday Kitchen, James Martin's Saturday Morning, and even Celebrity Wipeout as well. Good afternoon, Tony Tobin.
How you doing, Neil? You all right?
Yes, lovely to see you. Now, Christmas time is a very strange kind of year when it comes to preparing food, isn't it?
Well, I think a lot of people stress about it. And I always say to everybody, just remember, it's just a big chicken. You know, treat it like a big, big family roast. But it's all about preparation. It's all about getting ahead. So what are we today? Saturday. So Christmas Day this year is Tuesday. I've already been doing my baking and stuff. My wife likes to give little boxes at every place at the table. So I've been making gingerbreads and shortbread and some chocolate brownie. I've made my leek and gruyere quiche this morning. I was up early. All the vegetables and stuff have arrived ready to be prepared, which I'll start tomorrow. I take the bones out of my turkey and stuff and roll it. I've already done that. That's ready. I did that last night before I went out for a little glass of wine in the town.
Is there a trick with the stuffing for a turkey in making that flavour just come right through?
Okay, so what I use is the classic sage and onion as a base, stuffing mix, which I add to. So if you imagine in a bowl, it's just a dry mix, pour it in. There's lots of them out there available at supermarkets. Own brands are absolutely fine. So put that into a bowl, and then I just moisten it with a bit of hot water, and then I put into that some chestnuts, vac-packed, which are already cooked. You just crumble the chestnuts in, and some dried cranberries, and then the grated zest of one orange goes into that stuffing mix, and then I mix that with a really nice herby sausage meat. So mix the two together, and then you can either stuff it in your turkey, or you can roll it in cling film so it looks like a sausage, seal it, tie it at both ends, and poach it in some water, and then chill it, let it go cold, and you can slice it and then just fry that off and put it next to your turkey.
That sounds absolutely wonderful.
It tastes really, really good, actually.
I was just thinking to myself, I'm glad I had a bit of a brunch before I came down to do the show today, because this is absolutely mouth-watering. Now, the turkey itself, I mean, putting it in the oven, getting the timings right and making sure it's got the right length of time, it's similar to a chicken, as you've already said, but it's a bit more complicated because of the size. They're a much bigger bird, aren't they?
I know, and so take advice from your butcher. I mean, there's apps, actually, if you've got a phone where you can get apps available. There is an app, and you can put in the weight of your turkey. But the butchers generally are very, very good and will tell you how long to cook it. And my advice is aim to get it cooked at least an hour before you need it. Take it out of the oven and let it rest. And we talk about it a lot when cooking meats, roasting joints, resting. One thing, it frees up your oven, so you can get your potatoes done and stuff like that. It's a big bird. It's not going to go freezing cold. So I have no problem with a slice of warm turkey with some hot gravy on the top, with everything else. People panic, we want to sit down at 2, so the turkey's got to come out at like 5 to 2. No, your turkey should be out by 12:30, 1 o'clock. Just cover it with a bit of foil, put it to one side.
Let it rest.
Yeah. And the bird relaxes, the juices will kind of flow through and just sit. It makes it so much better.
It's all about getting that flavour just to emanate from the bird, isn't it?
Yeah. Salt and pepper with turkey. If it's stuffed, it's going to get flavour from the stuffing. If you're stuffing it separately, butter, salt and pepper. It doesn't need anything else. And start it upside down. Breasts down into the... normally I put some just roughly chopped carrot, onion, celery, leek. We call it a bed of vegetables, just to keep the meat off the roasting tray. But if you start upside down, because there's very little fat on a turkey, most of the fat runs along the spine. So if it's upside down, then the fat kind of melts from the top and runs down into the bird. And then you turn the bird over for the last half of the cooking, and you get it a nice brown, and you'll have really, really juicy meat.
Now, with the exception of perhaps the Tobin household, who have a husband who's a top chef, I like to do the cooking on Christmas Day, and I'm not a top chef. And one of the things I really do have a problem with is getting those roasted potatoes roasted properly. And isn't nice, that nice golden layer to them. Any tips there?
Yeah, so you need to parboil them. And I parboil mine, but it's not a rapid boil. It's more like a poach. And you do it until you can see the potatoes start to crack. Okay, it's the same. It's like making a triple cooked chips, where they're nice and crunchy on the outside and fluffy in the middle. So at that point, you then take them out of the water using a slotted spoon really, really carefully and put them onto a tray and then let them steam, steam dry, as we say, or cool. I actually put mine out in the garden. So on Christmas morning, you'll see in my garden, there'll be trays of potato with all this steam coming off them. So what happens is that allows the water to come out and they get nice and dry. And then roasting tray in the oven with some goose fat, if you've got goose fat, if not, just some vegetable oil. Get it nice and hot, and then add your potatoes. And then, really, don't do too much to them. Don't keep shaking them. But once you'll see they'll start to get crispy, then you can kind of turn them. And then give them slightly longer than you think they need. You'll hear that rattle as they start to move around. You get that really nice crunch, and then just a nice bit of sea salt over there just before you serve them.
That sounds great. I'm listening to this very intently on this side of the desk. One further question before we take a break for some music. Yep. Vegetables. Now, people can just overdo it, or some people just not enough. What's your suggestions for number of sort of different types of vegetables you should put on the Christmas table?
Yeah, so I'm a big fan of cheating here. So in the Tobin household, I go all out on the vegetables. So we've got roast potatoes. Sometimes we do mashed potatoes, depending on who's coming. My mum and dad are coming this year, so I'll put mash. Irish family, we always have roast and mash. And so as far as the vegetables are concerned, we'll have braised red cabbage. Buy it, because it takes too long to do. And you can buy really, really good stuff. Cauliflower cheese. Buy it. It's easy to make cauliflower cheese, but it's a lot easier to buy it. So those two things, that's helping me out. That's what I call a little bit of cheating. Then we'll have carrot and swede crush, mash, whatever you call it. You can buy that, but it's quite easy to make, and I like making it. And my mum used to do it as a kid, and she makes it really peppery. She put lots of pepper in it, so I do that, and lots of butter at the end. But it's just like making mashed potato. You boil the carrots and the swede in the same pan. I actually boil it until all the water disappears. It kind of dries out, and then I put loads of butter in there, salt, loads of pepper, and just mash it all up, and it's lovely. We'll also have sprouts. Some people hate sprouts. I shred mine. And then wok fry them with some smoked bacon and some chestnuts, and then I put soy sauce and a little bit of sesame oil in there, so they're quite oriental. They taste absolutely fantastic. Don't even taste like sprouts. So that's the carrot and swede.
Parsnips wraps or...?
Parsnips, yep. So I've got... This year I bought baby parsnips, so I find they're easy to roast. And we roast those, and then in the last 10 minutes, I put some a little bit of honey and maple syrup.
Ooh, lovely.
And some cracked black pepper. So they're kind of honey and black pepper. Absolute delicious, nice and golden brown parsnips. I think that's it. And a good gravy.
A good gravy is very important, and the very stock to make that gravy with as well.
Yeah.
Very important.
So you can buy ready-made stocks now in most supermarkets, but no problem using a cube. Again, it's, you know, all these kind of little cheat things are there to help us out. I have no problem using stock cubes.
The idea is to make Christmas as easy as possible, but still make it as important as possible, and if you've got guests around, is make it outstanding for them.
Yes, you want to show off a little bit. So, you know, all those kind of vegetable things, you can have your carrots and your swede peeled and chopped the day before, your parsnips ready to roast the day before. All my potatoes will be peeled and cut into size the day before and just kept in a bowl of water in the fridge, or just in a cool place that didn't have to be in the fridge. So yeah, as much as you can get ahead prior to the day, you can make your gravy the day before if you want, you know, and then just on the day. So you're roasting your potatoes, you're roasting your bird. You can actually pre-cook your vegetables as well, and some years we've got, how many this year? 13. So 13 sounds a lot, but it's we're normally in excess of 20 at the Tobin household. So it's kind of, I'm finding it a little bit easy this year. But in the past, I've got all my vegetables ready into the serving dishes, seasoned and buttered, and then just wrapped in cling film, and then just in the microwave or in a moderate oven just to warm them through. That really, really helps out with space on the stove if you can get that done the day before.
Thank you.
So, yeah.
That sounds really good. You're listening to the Neil Monday Radio Show here on Suzy Radio 103.4. Tony Tobin's my guest this morning. Can take a little musical break and then we come back, perhaps talk about appetizers and sweets, which is the really important part of ending the meal. What were you suggesting just now for introducing the meal, those appetizers.
Yeah, so we kind of, the day kicks off for us, like guests start arriving from midday. And because it's such a big meal and, you know, there's no rush, there's no set time that we sit down or anything like that. We want to chat to people, some family that we haven't seen for a while. So I just do, my mum makes a fantastic soda bread. So I take her recipe and I make that. But you can buy amazing soda bread in the supermarkets. It comes pre-sliced. And I just gently fry that in some olive oil. On either side till it's golden brown, it goes nice and crispy, a little bit of sea salt on it, and then we put on top of that some smoked salmon and some creme fraiche, which is mixed just with some horseradish sauce through it, and that is just absolutely delicious. So we have that just cut into little pieces, and we have a big bowl of sausage rolls, little mini sausage rolls fresh out the oven, and that's what everyone has. Well, we have some champagne, bit of fizz or a beer or whatever when everyone's kind of arriving and chatting, and then we sit down for the big meal. Obviously, we've talked about that, we've got that covered, and, you know, preparing ahead is the key for a calm Christmas. And then desserts are great because you can either buy them or you can make you make them ahead. You don't have to make the desserts to order, which is brilliant. But we love sticky toffee pudding. And again, you can buy a great sticky toffee pudding, but it's so easy to make, and it's made with dates. And those listeners that you have that are listening in that have made sticky toffee pudding will know about this. But at Christmas time, what I do is I take half of the quantity of dates out and replace it with Christmas pudding in that weight, and it makes a Christmas flavour sticky toffee pudding.
Oh, wow.
Christmas pudding flavour. It's absolutely delicious. So you do it all exactly the same way, apart from you take half the dates out and replace that weight in Christmas pudding. What else are we having this year? Key lime pie. I've been asked for key lime pie, Christmas sticky toffee pudding. I'm making a tiramisu. And I think that there must be something chocolatey, chocolate tart.
Chocolate fudge cake, perhaps. That's my wife's favourite anyway.
Yeah, so. It's a bit heavy. So I do a chocolate tart. So it's like a mousse cooked in a tartlet in a pastry case. So it's chocolate is melted with a little bit of butter and some cream, and then you whisk up eggs and sugar to what we call a sabayon, so it's like lots and lots of air, and then you fold that through the chocolate, pour it into your pastry case and bake it for 12 minutes, and it sets up, and it's like a chocolate mousse baked. It's really, really scrummy. I'm making myself hungry now. And then after dessert, we start playing lots of games. It's really good fun. We don't have the television on Christmas Day. We have the radio on, of course, in the morning when we're preparing. But then we start playing games. We have a list of games that we play. We have a quiz. My wife always does a quiz every year. We play a game called Kim, which is where about 30 objects are placed on a tray and covered with a cloth, and then you take the cloth off for 2 minutes, everybody has a look at it, and then the cloth goes back on. You've got to drop right down to see how many things you can remember was on there. That's a really good game.
That's
to play
like the generation
the
game, isn't it, on the conveyor belt.
Yeah,
tonight
it's a little bit like that. We call it Kim. We also play something that we call, this is really good fun if you've got kids as well, we call the raffle ticket game. So we buy three inexpensive presents, and they're normally all different shapes. So there's probably a round one, it can be a tin of sweets or a box of chocolates. Normally a triangular one could be some shortbread, and then there's a long one. And these presents are wrapped up. Everybody gets round the table, so if there's 10 people, everybody gets three raffle tickets. And then you start drawing out the raffle. So the first person, 33 red, hey, I'll have the round one. And the second one, you know, two blue, okay. But then you just keep drawing, so you steal the present.
Oh, wow.
So it really upsets people. It's like, yeah, I'll have the round one, please. And you keep going. And then the last three people, when all the tickets have gone, that are holding the presents, get to open them.
See, in my household, we're card game players. We like playing cards. And one of our favourites is Canasta, which is two packs of cards. And you score points for your teams. And
okay.
It's quite hilarious trying to get all the points on the board and get all the sets up and everything else. But it's a good card game. It's quite a serious card game.
Yeah.
But it goes on for hours.
Oh, does it?
Okay. Really does.
We have a game we call the feather game. So everybody kneels on the floor and we draw a big sheet, and you hold it wide so it looks like a trampoline underneath your chin. We've got this big feather that we drop in the middle, and it's not allowed to touch your face. So there's lots of blowing. But if you had a few glasses of wine, it sends it straight to your head. So maybe that's not a good game to play. But we always do that one. And then we play Beetle. So Beetle is a dice game where you have to roll the dice as quickly as you can, and the idea is to draw a beetle. You roll 6 for a body, 5 for a head, I think it's 4 for an antenna, 3 for a leg, 2 for an eye, 1 for a mouth.
Okay.
And you do
like a beetle drive, yeah.
Yeah, so we split it up into 3 groups, and we have a little trophy, which is a beetle on a piece of wood, and if you win, you get to keep that for 1 year.
Splendid, absolutely splendid.
So it's crazy in the Tobin household on Christmas Day.
When do you open your presents? Are you sort of a rush down in the morning and have them before you have breakfast, or do you wait till after lunch, or do you split it some and some?
We do both. So we have the immediate family, the kids, they'll all stay, although they're all grown up now, they'll all stay over on Christmas Eve, so they'll be with us on Christmas Day. So we'll have our little presents that we open together, and then everybody that's coming on Christmas Day, we do a secret Santa, so everybody gets a present to open at the table, just sharing gifts. I think that's a really nice way of doing it, because nothing worse than if you've got guests that aren't family members, which has happened quite a lot in the past, and everyone's opening presents and you think, oh, they're not opening presents because we didn't get them one. So doing the secret Santa kind of stops that, and it means everyone gets something to open. But in the past, when I had the restaurant, you know, sometimes staff couldn't get home for Christmas. I used to invite them round, and you know, my friend, I got a really good friend who a couple of years ago went through a divorce, and actually he's living on a boat now. He's bought this boat, lovely boat, up in London. And so last year I said to him, what are you doing on Christmas? He said, I'll be on my own on the boat. I said, no you won't. So he comes. So you know, it's not open house, but I hate to think of people that Christmas is a time for sharing all the love and stuff, and I hate to think of someone at home alone. So
my young ones, my young ones, my daughter's now 20, like your daughter, yeah. But they're all at home, obviously coming back from university. My son's at home, he's 13. There's never been kids for getting up and rushing down, open the presents in the morning. Okay. They're quite happy to wait and lay in, particularly if we've been up quite late into the evening on Christmas Eve.
Because lucky you.
I sit here doing the Santa track of Susie Radio as well, and it's so we get a bit of a lay in, which is remarkable. And yeah. I'm thinking, I'm actually getting hungry now. Well, and I'm up before the rest of the house getting things
prepared. I'm always the first one up, and always have been. So Christmas Day, I think I'm the most excited. I'm a massive, massive Christmas fan, so I'm always first up. And when the kids were a lot younger, I had been known to go and kind of poke them a little bit to wake them up at like 6 o'clock in the morning, because I think, you know, everyone should be up now. But yeah, I'm always up by 5:30. We used to do if we had a lot of guests, like 24, I think 25 was the most I've ever done. When we had the restaurant, I'd do it there because the restaurant was closed, so we used to use that as our base, which was great. So I'd kind of potter out, you know, sneak out of the house at 5:30, go and put the turkey in and do some little bits. But it's really nice doing it at home and on Christmas morning, and I just have a little bit of music in the background. I feel very Christmassy, and the day's too short. It all goes very, very quickly.
It does go very quick. Yeah. Can I take you back to your childhood for a moment? Just ask a question there. And that is simply, if you could just draw on one big memory from Christmas with your own parents, what would that memory be?
I think it would just be sneaking down to find if he'd been or not. And it was like, has he been? I had 3 sisters in my house when I was growing up. And again, I was always the first, probably the last to sleep and the first to wake up. So it would be kind of tiptoeing down the stairs and saying, has he been? And then running back upstairs to my sister, saying, he's been. And the look on my parents' face when we're opening the presents. Oh, look what I've got. And just really, really fond memories. Blimey, it seems so long ago now.
I can remember those days, you know, when you're sort of 10 years old and you just sort of go to bed early because Santa will come quick if you go to bed early.
Yeah, that's what we were told, yeah.
Which is brilliant. And it's fun. Tony Tobin, thank you very much.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Sharing your life and your family with us today here on Susie Radio. I hope we haven't intruded too much.
Not at all.
Just before we go, just tell us a little bit about what you got in the future. You're working on some private ventures at the moment.
Yeah, so I'm doing a bit of private work, a bit of consulting I've been doing for the year. So my restaurant closed now 17 months ago, just due to financial problems. It's a tough time out there. I feel sorry for anybody that's got a restaurant. Well, most businesses, you know, it's a real tough time. So the last kind of 17 months has been one, getting over the fact that I had to close, and kind of pulling myself back up. But I've been doing a bit of consulting, a bit of private work. But I'm in talks to someone. I can't talk too much about it, but it's very, very exciting. 2019, hopefully will see me cooking in an establishment very local to Reigate. Watch this space.
We look forward to it. And of course, please do share it with us here on Susie Radio.
Absolutely.
As soon as you do.
I will.
We'll give it a little bit of a plug always. And one thing I must tell everybody, for Christmas Day, I don't know the exact timings of it yet because we haven't recorded it yet, but we do our Christmas Day carol broadcast, and we record a carol service, which is this year going to be 9 lessons and carols from the Church of St Mary the Virgin in Bletchingley. Okay. And that is going to be broadcast on Christmas Day at lunchtime, either 12 or 1 o'clock. We're not quite certain of the exact timing yet, but it'll be 12 or 1. So do listen on 103.4.
We'll be listening.
It's a wonderful thing to put out over Christmas lunch.
Yeah, it is.
Tony Tobin, thank you very much for joining us here on Susie.
Thank you very much, and happy Christmas to everybody, all your listeners.
Merry Christmas to you.